possible to do well while also doing good? How well do you do and how much time do you spend on doing good? That's the question that we're going to talk about in depth today. Hey, everybody. My name is Jamie Tates, and I am the host of the Superpower Success Podcast. And to say I am beyond honored to have our guest here today, which is this amazing surprise for our listeners, Amanda Brinkman is with us today, and she's the Chief Brand and Communications Officer for Deluxe Corporation, and she's the host of an online series that you may have heard of or seen promoted called The Small Business Revolution. And outside of what she does for a living, Amanda is also such a huge part of our community here in the Twin Cities, and in the business community across all of the different areas that her team works. And she's a huge giver in the nonprofit space. She is the epitome of what it means to do good, and she's done well in that way. And so she's here to talk to us about that philosophy and just have a great conversation about how every day we can just get a little bit better and we can do a little more good. And that's really the impact that we're going to have on our country, really, and on the world. And so, Amanda, thank you. I don't really have an idea, but I have an idea of how crazy busy you are, given that the Small Business Revolution just launched season 3. So I appreciate you taking the time and being here today. And I'd love for just you to just share with our listeners a little bit about your background. Some of them may know, some may not. They may just know you as the, you know, the public image that you are, but you've got a great background as well. So would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me on. And yes, I think despite busy schedules, anytime anyone invites me to come in and talk about goodness, I think, you know, I'm up for it. So, my name is Amanda Brinkman. I am currently in a marketing and executive role at a very large publicly traded company in Minnesota. But I feel like part of why I have this job right now is because I'm being called to use this platform as an opportunity to advocate for bringing goodness into the workplace. I'm sure many of us have similar stories where, for me, when I was growing up, I grew up in a house where we volunteered a lot, we gave back. It was just a part of how we viewed the world and our role in the world. And as I got older and older and I was starting to decide what I wanted to do for a living, I remember I had a teacher in high school that I was talking with, and I said, well, I'm just so conflicted because I want to help people, but I also just really love advertising and creativity and film, and I was just very attracted to kind of that whole production world and the creativity that I was seeing within the advertising space. But I said, you know, I'm just so conflicted, though, because it feels like that, like this is kind of commercial-oriented and a little bit secular, if you will. It just felt like maybe that wasn't going to make the world a better place, even if I was attracted to it from a creative perspective. I said, I feel like I'm supposed to go into something that's good, so I guess I'll join the Peace Corps. And he said, well, but Amanda, if people who want to make the world a better place don't go into marketing, how will marketing ever get better? And in just that one phrase, he completely changed the way I saw what perhaps I could utilize my life and my career to do. That it doesn't have to just be the people who are doing the very traditional things you expect out of kind of quote-unquote goodness roles, but that we all have an opportunity to figure out the right way to infuse goodness and the way we should treat people in our day-to-day lives. So for me, it started during that moment in high school. I started to see it differently and have been trying to kind of fulfill on that mission ever since.
I love that message. And even for me, right, where I we have very similar stories, is I grew up volunteering in everything you could imagine. Still to this day, my kids know every year the Salvation Army, we just do all sorts of stuff. But I love the message because I think it is overwhelming for people when they maybe didn't grow up in that, and that isn't their history, is that maybe they're not wired in that way. But the message that there are so many different ways to do good. And I recorded a podcast last week, or actually one that just dropped on Tuesday, about being generous. And being generous was not about giving money. That is a piece of being generous. but it was about giving of your talents and of your time and the gifts that you have to others, to help others. And I think, you know, in the same realm is doing good is very similar to that. There's a lot of different ways to do good. And we don't just have to go to galas and donate money at Christmas time. And, you know, those are important things as well, but it goes well beyond that.
You couldn't be more right. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's giving of resources and there's giving of time. And I would say all of our resources, especially as you're busy adults and you start raising families and you've got all these other things to manage your time becomes an even more precious resource. And so I do think that there are some organizations where I still want to be like boots on the ground, like Special Olympics. Like I don't want to serve on their board. I want to keep going to the summer games and helping with the megaphone to give out the medals, because I just love being a fan at the Special Olympics games. I am so inspired by the athletes. It is so much fun to be, you know, right there. I mean, doing the actual volunteer work. And then I feel like there's other times where I want to use my marketing skills or some connections I may have for fundraising for an organization. Or, you know, I think you just kind of have to kind of listen to each opportunity and figure out, to your point, how can I be generous in this moment? And you are absolutely right. It's not always money. Sometimes it's skills. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's advocacy or support or influence. And sometimes it's money.
So speaking about skills, right, the purpose of this podcast, as you know, is around, you know, your superpowers, which we really call your strengths, and how to use your superpowers and really maximize them to achieve whatever that definition of success is for you. So we always have to ask our guests on this podcast, what is one of your superpowers and how do you use it?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, one of your superpowers. I think one of my superpowers is an intense amount of empathy. Even since I was little, I, for some reason, could always see, like, even if I was sitting with the popular crowd, I could see the child that wasn't and was feeling the ramifications of being left out. And I immediately was drawn to going over and talking to that kid and making sure that they felt welcome. Like I just feel like I have been blessed with the ability to experience what it's like to be someone else or imagine what that experience is like for that person in that moment. And I feel like that sense of empathy is part of, again, what's driven me to do things that are always kind of around goodness or helping, because I think when you can picture how something feels to someone else, you want to help make that better for them. You want to make them feel affirmed. You want to make sure they feel seen, and that they're not alone, and that someone is seen, that there's a very special person on the other side of that feeling, and that they need to feel like they were made just the way they were meant to be as well. So I feel like empathy has been my superpower, and I feel like it's really translated into leadership. I feel like I'm a good leader in the business world as well because of that sense of empathy. So I feel like I can get in touch with what each of my team members needs in terms of, how they're being recognized, how they're being given opportunities. Each person is motivated by something a little bit different, and I think that sense of empathy comes through in the fact that I can manage my management style accordingly to resonate with each of their styles.
It's a super strong superpower that's needed right now. I just read an article on that empathy is kind of the next major leadership skill that people have to focus on. And I did I actually wrote a blog a while back and a whole podcast on that, because what people don't realize is I'm high empathy as well in my strengths, like through StrengthsFinder and all of that. And people don't realize that empathy is actually one of those muscles that you can exercise and make stronger. Even if it's not innately one of your superpowers or one of your strengths, it is something that you can learn. And again, maybe it won't be your biggest strength, but you can definitely learn it. And they're talking about just the importance in the changing of generations as we look at the workforce, that stronger sense of empathy is going to make you a stronger leader in the future, because that's what your employees are looking for, that next generation of employee. And it's so important.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of talk about, so this doing well by doing good, clearly we get the message, and there's a lot of people that do this on their own time, right? They would say, I do good in my personal life. I volunteer my time. I'm, you know, the soccer coach. I'm on the board for something. But I struggle sometimes with people that don't understand that doing good doesn't have to be just outside the office. And it doesn't just have to be at your company, you know, does a volunteer campaign, you know, and you're participating in it. How do you, because you're so involved in that business sector, how do you see doing good playing out with businesses? And is it a competitive advantage in today's environment?
I really think it is a competitive advantage for businesses to see that our consumers are now demanding a little bit more of a heart and soul. And it can be a huge, to your point, competitive advantage to treat your customers that way and to create or care about causes in that way, because everything is becoming so fast and some things that used to not be are becoming commodities, and you can buy the same item from multiple people. And so the only way to stand out is to stand for something. And make sure that people know what kind of a heart and soul you have as a company. So I recently gave a TEDx on this talk on this concept of businesses that I believe that all companies are capable of doing well by doing good, that you can do well as a company and still do good, that these things are not so mutually exclusive. For so long, we've treated it as a for-profit and non-profit model in the business world, and I believe the two things are can be more closely linked than that. And I'm not talking about just giving away money. I'm talking about, like, figuring out, you know, much like what we've done in our program, you know, we're trying to reach small businesses, but instead of and we want to raise our awareness among small businesses and change the perceptions that we're not just a check printer, that we do small business marketing. Now, the natural approach to that could have been just going out and doing an ad campaign, but that would have just been talking at our customers about ourselves, trying to sell them something, which is the typical model right now for marketing. And I think that, and we believe that we could just do better than that. We could go out and actually stand alongside small businesses, create a movement to get more people to support them, go out and actually help them, tell their stories, advocate for them in a bigger way than just selling them things. And we felt like that would resonate with that audience more, and that as a result of that authenticity, we'd reach more of them. They'd share, you know, our stories on behalf of us, and they'd spread the word for us, because they would be able to sense the genuine nature by which we were going about, you know, reaching them. And that's exactly what happened. And so I feel like our small business revolution is kind of a case study in how businesses can think about their role in their customers' lives and think about, you know, what could you be doing for your customers that is beyond selling them things. Take that brand purpose that should be at the core of your as a business. Don't just stop there. Turn it all the way into brand action and actually do something. Put your money where your mouth is for your customers.
I think that's a great message too, in that it's a, for some of our small business clients, it's about redirecting where you're putting some of your energy, meaning your time, resources, and your money, and using it in a different way, not just the traditional way. And I'm guessing that's something that you guys help smaller businesses with, is to get creative, because you guys have certainly broken the mold with the small business revolution. I mean, people are drawn to this. And I was even going to say earlier with your superpowers, is that what shows up on screen and what shows up in those seasons is pure values at play. I mean, the content and the people, like, yeah, I hear it, but I see it at play. And I think it's something that people are really resonating with in that way, that it's on such a deeper level than just another ad, right? Or another, you know, where we're trying to do good, but we're trying to promote ourselves at the same time. And it just doesn't feel that way. And so my question for you is, for the business leaders and business owners that are listening, is how do they do that in even just a small way to start? What's your guidance on, you know, clearly they're not going to do what you guys have done right out of the gate, but how can you translate that down to the small business and what they can start doing?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think you have to, as a business, figure out what the world would be missing if you weren't in business. Like, it has to be that heavy. Like, how would the world be worse off if your business had to close? And it has to be that core to it. Like, what, it can't just be like they're going to be missing that product or service, because if that's the answer, well, they could be getting that somewhere else. Is it the way you treat people? Is it the way you know, what else could you be doing that would matter to your customers? And thinking beyond employee volunteerism, like I was talking just the other day to someone who works in more of a construction space, and she was talking a lot about how their employees will do a lot of volunteering, you know, feed my starving children and things like that. And those are should be core principles of your business. So keep doing that kind of stuff. But what I'm talking about is just a little bit different. It would be trying to figure out, you know, what in the construction space could you uniquely be doing that makes the lives of your customers better and advocates for a group that they care about? Or how are you using those construction skills in a way to help kids in underdeveloped parts of the community? Or, you know what I mean? So like, kind of thinking about like, what could you uniquely be doing that makes a difference and shows that you believe so much in what you do as a company that you can use it actually to do good. And the second thing I would say is, I think you really have to believe it all the way down to your frontline employees. So whether you're a big business or you're a small business with less than 5 employees, every one of you should be kind of marching to that same, the beat of that same drum and feeling that all the way through. It can't just be something you put up on the wall and never revisit. It really has to come to life in the way you treat it. And actually, as a small business, you are so much more, it will be easier for you to apply this than a big business. That's one of the hardest parts about running or working at a large company, is that to get absolutely everyone, all 5,000 employees, 10,000, 20,000 employees, kind of feeling the exact same way about the mission of the company is a lot harder than when you have 5 or 10 employees. And so small businesses have the opportunity to really make sure everyone that they bring on is living and breathing that. And then I think the last thing is just making sure that as you're doing this, you're telling people about it, but not in a braggadocious way, in a sharing stories and kind of almost as a gauntlet to other businesses. Like, this is how we're participating in our community. We hope you join us in the unique way that you can make a difference. Because you want to be, you know, definitely leveraging those stories. And I think we do it more in Minnesota than other parts of the country, I'm sure, but we get a little bit shy sometimes talking about when we do good or when we have achievements even. And I think there's nothing wrong. At the very beginning, I talked about this doing well by doing good, as did you. And you don't have to be so shy about doing well. You can be a good person, you can make the world a better place, but that does not mean you have to sell all your earthly belongings or you can't want to make money. So you can do both of those things. And we need to start thinking about them in a space where they coexist rather than are, you know, kind of direct opposites.
I think that's a fantastic message. And I like the idea. It's a lot around the work that we do with clients too, where you talk about kind of, you need to know your why beyond just you make widgets or you produce a service, you know, a service or whatever it is. And it's surprising to me how many businesses, especially in the small business realm, and you probably see this as well, have never really thought about it in that way. The business owner might know kind of why they started the business and that type of thing, but they've never really articulated it for the employees. And if you don't know your why, and it's really hard for them to understand their why, and they're the front lines to your customers, you know, to all your vendor partners, and you need them to understand that too. And I also believe what you're saying around just pride in what you do. I think that's another competitive advantage that many business owners underestimate in the workforce retention and recruitment. You know, in a labor market like we are in right now, those types of things can actually make you competitive as a small business, where people want to work for you because you have that strong, you know, why and what you do and that connection beyond just what you make or what you deliver.
Absolutely. We all want to work for something that we feel is bigger than us and matters and is playing the right role. Yeah, no, absolutely.
How do you think that's changed over the past, say, 10 years, even 20 years, in your kind of, you know, career? In that, is this more of an important thing now than it's ever been, or we just have more of a focus on it now?
That's a great question. I can only speak from the perspective of the career journey that I've been on. And so I know each industry can be a little different, but I almost feel like in some way we're getting back to our roots of understanding that role. Like, I feel like when businesses were first starting, and that's what I mean, like small businesses are doing this more, like giving back and spending time making sure that they're doing more than just being a business. You know, they are, small businesses give back disproportionately compared to big business in terms of percentage of revenue, percentage of time, and it's harder for them to do it. I mean, they get every little league team knocking on their door, and every fundraiser asking for a gift card. And I mean, they get all of that. And to them, that's a much bigger hit to their revenue each week and month than it is to a big business. Yet they do it. They still keep saying yes. And it's just amazing. And so I feel like in many cases, small businesses get it right. And then some of them get to a place where they start to grow and maybe move away from it. And I feel like in big business, I think we're starting to realize that, you know, this push towards being publicly traded and satisfying the street and outlooks and being so fiscally driven as an economy and as a business world is unhealthy in so many ways, because it's driving short-term decisions, meaning that we're not necessarily doing the thing we know is right for our business. We're doing the thing that meets the numbers that we've promised the street and, again, to our shareholders. And so I think sometimes we make decisions that people know aren't the best decisions for our employees or for the business. And I think we got to get to start getting braver about that as businesses and just saying, you know what, we're going to do the right thing for our business and our people, and thinking about it that way. Because when you start focusing on it that way, I think it's much easier to make decisions that are good for your customers as well. And I think, you know, no one business can change the way, you know, the entire business world works. But I do think that one business at a time, we can start getting back to playing the right role within our society as a business.
I have very similar perspective. So I appreciate that. And that I do think we're kind of getting back to that. And I, you know, part of what you guys are doing is part of it, but I feel like there's this groundswell of kind of grassroots, if you will, you know, approach to both consumers and to the businesses of wanting to go back to the local and support their communities and support the people that are really, you know, supporting and building their business versus the big logos, I guess I would say. And so that's refreshing to me. Having come from very large corporates, I know we have a lot of people on this podcast that are leaders in a large corporate environment. With your experience, what approaches or just things can those people start doing, even in a larger company, to take some of these learnings from what small businesses are doing and create at least a culture within their area that they can impact with by doing good? What would be your advice to a corporate leader?
I think nothing speaks louder than nothing speaks louder than action, right? I think that was a little something that our parents told us way back when we were kids. You know, actions speak louder than words. So I think as leaders, I think we can lead by example. I think it comes down to everything, like how we treat other people, how we think about the value of our own time, showing that we see our employees as real people with real families, and that, you know, and making it easy for them to do all the things that they need to in their life. And again, lean with that empathy. So maybe for you, it's, you know, making sure, you know, if it'll be easier on everybody to work from home on Friday so that they can, you know, kind of get hunkered down and get all their work done before they go on to the weekend so that they can truly enjoy that time with their families. Maybe that's the answer for your team. Or if it's about spending more time recognizing achievements, maybe that's the right answer. Maybe it's a combination of a lot of things. Maybe it's volunteering as a group. But I think it's about asking your employees too, like, especially in the marketing space, which is obviously the world I come from. As when you think about across the organization, we're not only the heartbeat kind of our company and focused on kind of that brand purpose and that brand voice, but we know our customers really, really well. We're spending a lot of time and dollars and resources making sure we have a lot of data on customers and understand, you know, what it's like to be them and how they make purchase decisions. So we should be the first ones to know exactly what would make their lives better and how they would feel more fulfilled and how your company could, you know, play a different role. So ask your employees, you know, they know the customers. You could ask them, how could we make our customers' lives easier and better? And again, it's not always kind of the service. It might be about something a little bit bigger than that in terms of action.
I love that. And I think you're seeing more and more, at least I am seeing more and more kind of more science behind some of this, you know, employee engagement and the real impact it can have on, you know, the growth of your business, the performance of your business. And I think people are starting to see that in the past, it was something that was very intangible. Like we couldn't measure it. So we knew we were kind of supposed to do it. And I think they're finding ways to make it much more measurable, which is exactly what you're talking about, is starting to ask them, starting to have them be part of the solution to how we can get better and how we can improve, is really driving higher performance in the companies that can figure this out. I'm curious, from all of the work you've done with the Small Business Revolution and these just amazing, you know, small businesses in these towns, what is the biggest piece of advice or thing that you've learned from one or more of these small businesses that you've worked with?
That you need to always ask for help and not be afraid to ask for help. And it's really hard for business owners to ask for other people to come in and help them for two reasons. One, a sense of pride. I mean, there's a little bit of I'm running my business. I'm the boss. From the outside, it looks like I'm doing this whole thing. I don't want to, you know, kind of admit I need these people to help. And the second piece, which can make it very, very lonely, and I'll come back and talk about that. But in the second piece is, it feels like it'd be expensive to ask someone to come in and help you with your books or to help you with your marketing like we do at Deluxe. Or to come in and clean your bathroom or mop the floors. I mean, it feels like if I can do it myself, I should do it myself. But I think as a business owner, you have to think about where can my time best be spent? How do I uniquely offer that value? What's my superpower, to use your words? How can I grow this business? And then how can I find partners to supplement that skill set? Because no CEO of a big company expects that she can run HR, finance, legal, marketing, right? They bring in experts for those pieces because they need to focus on the leadership and exactly how they can grow it. So I think that the biggest thing is kind of that asking for help, which I feel like is a lesson that big business leaders can learn from as well.
For sure. And it's something that we talk about a lot. We talk about delegation, you know, whether it's with a corporate business leader or a small business owner, is, you know, finding whether that's delegation, meaning your employees, or delegating to somebody outside to do those things. Because number one, you get a higher quality of work. And number two, if it is your employees, we're allowing them to step into something and challenge themselves and grow, which is good for our business. And as business owners, it is hard because you feel like, okay, if someone's going to put in the extra hours, it's going to be me. I'm not going to ask somebody else to do it. But we're also restricting the growth of our business by doing that, by holding onto the vine too long, and we're not allowing our employees to grow and be able to take over some of those things as the business grows. And so it's a double-edged sword for sure. And I think it's great advice. And I couldn't think of a more perfect place to start to wrap this, because I think always ask for help is something that we all need to be thinking about, whether it's personally or professionally, what we're dealing with in our personal lives or in our careers, is it's not a weakness to ask for help. It's not a weakness to raise your hand and say, I really need help. Whatever that means, you know, I think we're seeing in our world today is the stigmas and people not being able to show weakness in any way. And I think weakness is really, truly authentic. And I think weakness is what draws people to you, because you're real and they can see themselves in you or what they used to be. And so many people are willing to reach out and lend a hand, right, to help you up to whatever that next thing that you need is. So I think it's a really important message for all of us. Amanda, how can people get more information on you, your team at Deluxe, the Small Business Revolution, how you can help them if they're going to take our advice and ask for help where they need it? What's the best way for them to get in contact with your team?
So the best way to get in contact with my team is you can go to deluxe.com. All of our products and services that we help small businesses with are there. So everything from logo to website to email marketing. We would love for people to watch the show and to share it. You can find the show on Hulu, or if you don't have Hulu, it streams online. Excellent viewing experience on smallbusinessrevolution.org. Again, that's smallbusinessrevolution.org. And seasons 1, 2, and 3 are all there. And then I would love to keep in touch with people and have them follow me in social media. I post a lot of musings around what we've talked about today, a lot of behind the scenes from the show, and other marketing tips for small businesses as well. And my social handle is at Amanda K. Brinkman. And I guess K is for kindness, but it's actually a maiden name. So Amanda K. Brinkman. And that's Instagram, Twitter, and my public page on Facebook. Or they can follow me on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. And we'll make sure that we put all of these links, we'll get it all together and put it for those, I always say, for those people who are running or driving or doing whatever they do when they listen to podcasts, we'll have it in the podcast notes so that you can make sure and get the information that you want. And Amanda, I just want to thank you again. I really do know how busy you are and how much is going on right now. And I appreciate your willingness to do good by sharing your knowledge and your experience and helping people just get a little bit better and shift their paradigms, hopefully, in how they look at the world and how they look at the struggles that they might be dealing with. And Superpower Success Community, as always, I'm grateful for you being here and connecting and the response that we're getting from these podcasts, because we're doing this to bring real people with real experience to you to help you get to that next level and to help you get unstuck, because we all get there and we all need someone to kind of help us and shake us free of that for us to keep moving forward. So keep focusing on your superpowers and make sure every day you're using them in some way to get to that next level of success, whatever that looks like for you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Amanda Brinkman. She brings such a refreshing perspective to how we look at doing good. And I hope you realize after listening that doing good is definitely something that you need to include in your recipe for success. Whatever that success is, it's important that we are focused on including doing good as part of that. And just as a reminder, we have our 6-month Business Builder Coaching Program that we relaunched here a few months ago, and we're getting amazing results with business owners that we're working with. And so we focus on those foundational elements that are going to really drive growth and focus in your business and get you to that next level, whatever that next level looks like for you. And it's specifically designed for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small business owners who feel stuck, you know, they've hit a ceiling and they want to kind of give their business a jump start and start it growing at an accelerated pace. So if that's something that would help you, we would love to get connected with you. You can get more information on our website at keystonegroupintl.com, or you can email us directly at info@keystonegroupintl.com, and we can set up a free call with you to kind of understand how our curriculum and our program can help you. So we would love to help if that makes sense. Thanks, everyone.